The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Hey, I realize we've had a long weekend. I'm not going to preach long tonight. I'm going to be pretty short. It'll be longer than 5 minutes, but shorter than an hour. And so it is going to be shorter than normal. I do want to get right into it, though, and thank you so much for being here for Sunday night. Don't forget, we do have church on Wednesday night, and so we'd love to have you here on Wednesday night as well. John chapter 11 and verse 44, as I read just a moment ago, the Bible says, "And he that was dead, it said, came forth." Now, when he came forth, notice about himself how he came forth. The Bible says, "bound hand and foot with grave clothes." Now, keep in mind, the grave clothes has been on him now, and he's been dead for 4 days. The Bible says, later on, you're going to see that Martha, his sister, says, "he stinketh." Now, after about 4 days, a person that has been dead, and of course the body begins to decompose, the body begins, of course, to go into utter ruin, and so the stink begins to rise. And so, but here he is, and he is bound hand and foot in grave clothes. The Bible says, and his face was bound about with a napkin, and Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Now, can I tell you, many preachers have preached this way, and they've been absolutely right. They have said, in comparison speaking, that a person like Lazarus, giving the illustration here, was a person dead, trespasses and sin, got saved, came out, if you would please, of their personal grave, was delivered, but then they have to make changes in their life, and they need help doing that, making changes in their life, because after all, they were not born Christian. They were not born knowing the Word of God. They were not born knowing what direction to do or to go in reference to the Word of God, so they just need help being able to take those old, nasty, grave clothes off, and that's where different Christians come in their lives to be able to help them. I want us to see this from a different perspective, however, tonight. And I'd like to speak tonight on resurrected from personal hurt. Resurrected from personal hurt. And I want us to see, how is it for those of us that are hurting? You know, as Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, "He who preaches to a broken heart will never lack an empty pew." I believe that's true. Okay? Many times we go through different hurts. And by the way, you might be okay right now. You might be saying, "Oh, preacher, come on, man. I do not need a message on being delivered from personal hurt." Well, you might not need it now, but can I tell you, a day will come when you will need it. And by the way, there might be somebody in your life that's going through some personal hurts right now. You might be able to take a truth, be able to sit down with them, show them a truth that will help them to be resurrected from their personal hurt. So let me give you some statements tonight, okay? Statement number one, we should hurt when other people hurt. And by the way, the closer you get to someone, if you're really tied into them emotionally, can I tell you, when they hurt, you hurt, because that's a friend. When they go through a despairing time, you're going to feel like you also are going through that despairing time. When all of a sudden it seems like things are not going well in their life, you're going to feel like things are not going well in your life. Now, why? Because there is that emotional attachment. A lot of times, a parent will have that a strong, deep, abiding emotional attachment with a child. A lot of time, a child will have that with a parent. A lot of time, a husband and wife will have that together. There's that deep, when your wife is hurting, you hurt. When your husband is hurting, then you hurt. When your children are hurting, then you hurt. When your parents are hurting, then you hurt. When your best friend is hurting, then you hurt. When somebody that's close to you, that has become dear to you in your life, when they begin to hurt, you begin to hurt. Now understand, Jesus had close emotional ties to this particular family. And so understand that there's some hurting going on, not just by him, but by others as well. Now, there is some other people that pretend to hurt. Notice in your Bible, John chapter 11 and verse 33, the Bible says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which were with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Now, He may have been groaning in the spirit and was troubled because back in those days, many times Jews would receive a salary or pay, and they were called the weepers. And so you would see maybe a casket going along, or you may see a body going along, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of people weeping. That doesn't mean there was any emotional attachment. It might have been that they were just paid weepers. And so what they did is they received a little bit of money, and they would follow along that person's body that has just now become deceased, and they would pour it on. I mean, they would pour it on so strong that you would have thought that this was a mom, or this was a dad, or this was a brother, or this was a sister that was tightly emotionally bound, okay? And they would be crying out loud, and they would be weeping, and they would be just going to no end, just like that they knew them forever. Matter of fact, they didn't know them at all. They were strangers, and they were just being paid a little bit of money to put on a show to weep, to show that there was remorse because that person had died. Now, I don't know if that's why Jesus was grieved on the inside. I don't know if that's why he was troubled on the inside. I do believe that he was also troubled because Lazarus was a friend, and Lazarus has now gone. Now watch this. John chapter 11 and verse 34. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come see. And so he was inquiring. By the way, friends inquire. When somebody's hurting, you want to know, are you okay? Is there anything I can do? Sure do love you. Here for you. Want to encourage you. Want to walk beside you. Want to try to help you any way I can. All right. That's what friends do. The Bible says in John chapter 11 and verse 35, Jesus wept. So now Jesus is moved. Now sometimes we get moved by others, and sometimes we get moved by, again, I'm going to use these words, an emotional attachment or a bond. You know, sometimes we are so emotionally attached to a person or a situation that when that occurs or reoccurs, it causes us to hurt deep inside and we begin to weep. It might be because of the fact that others were weeping also. You walk into a room and everybody's laughing, and maybe you might be built this way. I don't know. Some people are. You walk into a room and everybody's laughing. You don't know what they're laughing about. You don't know what the joke is. You don't even know if it's funny. But because they laugh, boy, you start laughing. You just can't help it. You know, there's people that come into my office and they begin to tell me something and they're weeping. And before you know it, because I love them, I begin to weep too. And I don't even know what they're talking about. Okay. And so Jesus did weep. John chapter 11 and verse 36, the Bible says, and then it says, said the Jews, behold how he loved him. All right, so you know this, that the Jews, and probably these are those guys that were paid, they looked around and said, now wait a minute, we're not paying him. You know, he's not a part of the entourage, if you will, please, that's making a little bit of money off this, and so it must be real. I mean, after all, he's weeping too, all right? And so we understand being somebody that is dealing with other people that have personal hurt. How do you get resurrected from your personal hurt? Well, we can help people get resurrected from their personal hurt that we should hurt with other people. Now, we can rejoice when we have big days. We can rejoice what God did today. We can rejoice of all those that received Christ as Savior over the past 2 days and all the work, all the labor, all the prayer, all the giving, all the going. We can rejoice in all that, and we should. But can I tell you also, we ought to hurt when other people hurt. Statement number two, hurting times, think about this, hurting times always causes action. You know, all of a sudden you go out there and you break your arm, you break your foot, you break your toe, you break your tooth. You all of a sudden break your nose, or you break something else. I don't know wherever it goes, okay? But you break something, all right? And when you break something, can I tell you, all the body parts begin to feel that pain. You know, it's just not in the area. I remember one time, boy, I tell you what, I just could not figure it out for the life of me, but my heel was just hurting so bad. Oh, it was hurting so bad. I went to the chiropractor, and he said, well, here's what your problem is. Your back is out. I said, my back is out? What do you mean my back is out? My heel hurts. My back doesn't hurt. It's my heel that hurts. But there was, of course, a connection there between that which was the back and that which was the heel. So I say, hurting times always causes an action. A lot of times, people that are hurting, they begin to question the actions of others. Well, don't they understand I was hurting? Don't they understand they shouldn't have talked to me that way? They shouldn't have had that thought about me. Isn't it amazing how we think that we can read other people's thoughts? Isn't that amazing? We go up to somebody and say, well, you shouldn't be thinking that about me. I didn't know you had that power. By the way, if you got that power, stay around me some, because I'd like to be able to learn some things about some people. I've got some questions. Okay? I'm saying this, that when hurting people begin to hurt, that always causes action. It causes people to question the actions of other people. You know, why did you do that? What were you thinking when you did that? What are you thinking now? Ooh, I know what you're thinking. Okay? Also, it causes action. And sometimes it causes action whereby we begin to even question God. God, why'd you let this happen to me? Don't you know I'm a good Christian? Don't you know I've tried to serve you all the days of my life? Don't you know that I study my Bible and I'm a Bible student? Don't you know that I pray every day? Why are you letting this happen to me? I've seen Christians, and I'm telling you the truth, I've seen Christians that come down with a disease. It might be heart disease, or it might be cancer, it might be some other type of dreadful thing that they face. These are good Christians. These are Christians that have had their roots grounded and settled in the faith. And yet all of a sudden, when they go through such a calamity, when they face such an infirmity in their life, they begin to question the very actions of God. God, why did you let me go through this? God, don't you see my record? Don't you see that? And they begin to justify themselves of feeling that way about God based on their righteousness against that which is the judgment of God. Now, we have to be careful. Don't ever begin to question the Lord about things that happen in your life. Amen. By the way, have you ever thought about this? The Bible says that every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Have you ever thought about this? That everything that happens in your life, if it comes from God, God sees it as a gift. And God sees it as good. Oh, but you say, preacher, that person that's in my life right now, they're sandpaper. Did you ever think that you need sandpaper? Oh, but preacher, that person that's in my life right now, they just rub me the wrong way. Did you ever think that you might need somebody in your life to rub you the wrong way? Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. They are just not giving me the time of day. Well, is that teaching you something? Are you learning some patience from that? Might it be that God sends special people in your life to teach you things that you have never or would have never learned had that person not showed up in your life? And by the way, isn't that true that a two-year-old can teach a parent more than perhaps the parent can learn from a graduate? Of maybe some undergraduate and some type of high demanding degree. You'd be amazed at how God can take minute things and be able to teach you major answers. Amen. How God can take little things in your life. And by the way, if you're not careful, little things will rib you to the point and to the place that it becomes bothersome to you. Okay, let's go out. Let's go out and let's pull the weeds out around your house. And all of a sudden, you get just a little bit of a briar that decides that it's going to take a nesting place in the tip of your finger. You try and get that thing out. You can't get it out. As a man, you put your teeth up there. You can't get it out. And then you go and you pull your knife out, you know, and you try and dig it a little bit. And the more you dig, the deeper it goes. And so now you're becoming like, oh, and you go to your dear wife and say, honey, please help me, but whatever you do, don't hurt me. And it's just because of that little bitty briar that you touch. Now, can I tell you, that little bitty briar is going to irk you, it's going to cause you pain, it's going to disturb you, it is going to take and make you feel it over and over and over again until either you get helped in removing it or until you take the right type of activity. Now, what is the right type of activity? John chapter 11 and verse 38, the Bible says, Jesus therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, the Bible says. And it was a cave, and the stone lay on it. Might it be tonight that what we need to do when all of a sudden we feel the hurt, what do? We decide that we hurt with somebody else, or we feel the hurt, and we decide to take and let somebody else help us with the hurt. But that hurt sometimes causes us to have action. Now, in this case, here we see the Son of God that is hurting. His best friend has now just gone on, and now he decides that he is going to go to God, his Father. Now, can I tell you, there is no better one to go to than God, your Father. Statement number next, helping hurting people is work. Helping hurting people is work. You know what I found out about the pastor? I found out this about the pastor. A lot of the times, my hours are filled with just helping hurting people. That's the life of a pastor. Counseling people, loving people, encouraging people, trying to help people, trying to guide people, trying to instruct people, trying to walk beside them when they're ill, trying to walk beside them when they lack the knowledge, the insight, or the wisdom in order to make a definitive decision in the right way, trying to teach principles, trying to give guidance. And can I tell you, helping hurting people is work. John chapter 11 and verse 39, the Bible says, and Jesus said, he said, take away the stone. By the way, that's called work. Martha, the sister of him, the Bible says, that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been, it says, dead 4 days. Now, by the way, it is easy to help somebody that smells good. But the more they stink, can I just be honest with you tonight? Now, I'm human, but please forgive me. But the more they stink, the more I'm not excited about helping them. Even on the plane, somebody sits down with me and they have overdosed in perfume. And they sit there and my, can I tell you, I don't have a burden, but my eyes will begin to run. You know, and I have a hard time thinking and trying to convey to them the gospel. Why? Because I am distracted by the stench. And can I tell you, we work with all sorts of people here. We do. We have people that live in nice, resident homes. We have people that drive nice cars. But we also have people that come to our church that live under bridges. We have people that live just that which is hand to mouth. And that's how they live. We have people that barely make it. We have people in our church, honestly, they only own 2 or 3 sets of clothing, that's it. We have other people that come and they're faithful and they love the Lord and God's been very kind to them and God has blessed them bountifully with many blessings. But you know, it's hard to help somebody when they stink. It really is. One of the things that I appreciated about my dear wife, when my wife was there at the church where I attended Bible college, I watched her many times as she would go up to the rescue mission men that would always sit in their own section. Now, there was probably many reasons for that. But they always sat in their own section, and I watched a young lady go over to those men as they would raise their hand for salvation, and she ignored the stench and would walk them down the aisle or show them their need of Christ right there. And that, to me, was very impressive. And can I tell you, it is important for you and I to be able to help hurting people as our Lord. It did not deter him. Well, he stinketh. You know, he's been in there for 4 days. Can you imagine? Somebody saying, well, he stinketh. He's been backslidden for 4 days, 4 months, 4 years, 40 years. He stinketh. Everybody needs help. Let's not allow that which is the outward adornment of man to stop us from loving, helping, and reaching people. Amen. Here's what we understand. We understand the Bible teaches here that that stone needed to be rolled away. And by the way, sometimes in the believer's life, there's the stone of disbelief just has to be rolled away. Sometimes there's the stone of a misbehavior that has to be, or a bad habit that has to be rolled away. Sometimes we have to decide that we're going to roll ourselves away because we're the problem. We're the thing that comes between God doing a miracle in somebody else's life. We're the one that is the hang up. We're the one that's the stoppage. When you think about a stone, you might be thinking about something that's hard. You might be thinking about something that's difficult. You might be thinking about something that is cold, something that does not live. And can I tell you, many times I've seen Christians that have lost their life. I've seen Christians that become cold and indecent to the things of God. I've seen Christians that used to be hot for Jesus, and I've seen Christians now that are cold for Jesus. I've seen people that used to be faithful that have become unfaithful in the things of God. I've seen people that used to talk about the Bible and the Word of God and the things of God and would support the very fabric of God's work, and I've seen them all of a sudden get cold and get hard. Now, can I tell you, whatever that is that's stopping you from being able to see God do something in your life that brings you back to life, you need to get rid of. Whatever it is between you and the Savior, whatever it is that's stopping the Savior from being able to reach into your cave, reach into your tomb, and to bring you out alive again, you have to decide that you're going to get rid of that. And by the way, you might need some help to roll away the stone. You might need some help of somebody coming in and saying, now look, I'll tell you, that stone's mighty big, and that stone you probably can't roll away yourself, so let me help you to be able to roll away that stone. I'm saying, how is it that we can be resurrected from a personal hurt? We understand tonight, to be resurrected from a personal hurt, we will have to hurt with some other people. We understand that hurting sometimes causes us to be active and to get God actively involved. We understand that hurting people sometimes takes a lot of work. I've said this often, you've heard me say it from this pulpit, if it took 17 years to mess your marriage up, it's not going to take 17 seconds with some pixie dust to straighten it up. It might take 17 years to straighten it up without the pixie dust. And the pixie dust doesn't work, okay, I'm just telling you. Okay, so helping hurting people. Can I tell you, helping hurting people takes a lot of work. Statement number next, helping people. I'm talking about hurting people. You need to point them to God. There's nobody that can help you with your personal problem, your family problem, your marriage problem, like God can help you. John chapter 11 and verse 40, the Bible says, and Jesus saith unto her, it says, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He said, now wait a minute, what are you talking about? Don't roll away. What are you talking about? He's been dead and he stinketh. Look, if you just believe, he said, if you just believe, he said, you'll get to see the glory of God. You know, have you ever found yourself doing this? Have you ever found yourself praying in doubt? Have you ever set out to accomplish something and about in the middle of trying to accomplish that thing, you begin to doubt? I have. Now, what do you do with that, preacher? You just keep moving with the little bit of faith that you got. You just keep moving. I've said this so many times that the best place for a Christian to backslide is in church. But once you backslide and you're in church, you stay backslidden in church. You think about old Jacob. Jacob backslid. He ran 500 miles the other direction, if you would please. Took him 20 years to get back. You think about Peter. Peter backslid, but he stayed there. And almost within days of backsliding, you see him preaching the day of Pentecost. You think about Jonah. Jonah backslid, found himself going the opposite direction that God would have him to go, and did he pay the cost? Every time you see him in that ship, he's going down, 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 until finally they cast him in the sea, and he winds up down in the bottom of the sea in the belly of the whale. See, it cost us a lot to backslide. Can I tell you, it's not worth backsliding. Oh, but preacher, it's hard to come to church. Sure beats backsliding. Amen. But it's hard to read the Bible, preacher. But it's better than backsliding. Amen. I'd rather somebody not backslide and wind up being somebody that's backslidden and in the state pen somewhere, or backslidden and maybe in jail somewhere, or backslidden and on dope and drugs somewhere. And by the way, are you listening to me? People begin to backslide just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit. Sometimes a person says, well, I'm not going to brush my teeth, and so they'll skip it one day. And oh, I'm not going to brush my teeth, and so they'll skip it another day. And I'm not going to brush my teeth, and all of a sudden, sudden, about a year later, they wind up at the dentist, and the dentist says, I'm sorry, I got to pull them all. Now, why? Now, can I tell you? Look, I'm saying this tonight. You be an individual that decides that hurting people need to be pointed to God. God can help. God can encourage. God can meet your need. You say, but preacher, I don't believe it. Then you forget your unbelief and you step out and believe. Take yourself a walk in the meadow somewhere. Bow your heart to God and pray and ask God for a miracle. Why? Because He is still a miracle God. I'm saying tonight, hurting people need to be pointed to God. John chapter 11 and verse 40, as we go through this chapter, John chapter 11 and verse 40, the Bible says, Jesus said to her, He says, now watch this, I'll read it again. He said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now what's it all hinging upon? Belief. Did not the disciples even say this? They said, Lord, we believe, but help thou our unbelief. Sure. You know, you'll find out in your Bible as you study it, there's four stages of faith. You'll find out that there was a time when the disciples had no faith. There was a time, yes, again, when the disciples had little faith. There was a time, yes, again, when the disciples, I'm talking about the disciples, prayed for an increase of faith. There was a time when you see that there was a centurion that the Lord Jesus said, there's not been so great faith, no, not in Israel. Said that about a centurion. Then there was a deacon that had much faith. Now, I'm telling you, there's four different types of faith in the Bible, and you get to choose what degree of faith you want. Oh, preacher, you mean I say it for sure? You get to choose what type of faith you want. Say, how's that happen, preacher? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You know, some people have low energy and they go to their doctor and the doctor says this, you have low energy. And the reason you have low energy is because you don't have this in your system and you need this in your system. And so the doctor would give them a supplement. If they don't take the supplement, can I tell you, the energy doesn't come just by it sitting on the shelf. I can testify. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand tonight that what happens? How do you resurrect? How do you get resurrected from that which is hurting? We should hurt when others hurt. We understand that hurting takes time. It takes investment, if you will, please, to work with hurting people. You know, sometimes hurting people, they're forced to some type of activity. I'm saying tonight, let that activity point you to God. Statement number next, I'm almost done. Hurting people need to see someone praying for them. Need to see someone praying for them. Don't forget you have a pastor. Oh, but you say, preacher, you're not perfect. Never claim to be. But preacher, you're not a Bible scholar. Never claim to be. Preacher, you're not a great preacher. Never claim to be. Preacher, you're not somebody that has great degrees of wisdom and depth of knowledge. Never said I did. But I can tell you one thing, I'll hurt with you. I'll tell you one thing, I'll pray with you. I'll tell you one thing, I will show you principles that will help to guide your life. Now, can I tell you, hurting people need someone to pray for them. John chapter 11 and verse 41, the Bible says, and they took away the stone. The Bible says, from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou, watch what he says now, has heard me. He said, I just want to thank you that you heard me. Now, by the way, that's called praying in faith. God, I just want to thank you right now. I know you're tuned in. I know you're listening to me. I know that I've got your ear. I know that I've got your heart. I know you're listening to every word I say. And so, God, I'm coming to you. I'm not going to this person or I'm not going to that person, but God, I'm coming to you. The Bible says in John chapter 11 and verse 42, the Bible says, I know that thou hearest me always. Listen to it now. It says, but because, it says, of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou, it says, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He said, the reason I'm going through the method, the reason I'm displaying myself before these people, it's not for my sake. He said, the reason I'm doing that is for their sake. I want them to see that I believe that you are who you are. And you'll do what you said you would do. John chapter 11 and verse 43, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. I love this part. With a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, it did say he cried with a loud voice. He didn't do it like the liberals. Lazarus, talking about Lazarus, come forth. Now, he didn't do it. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Almost sounds like a fundamentalist, doesn't it? Now, by the way, what if he would have said, hey, you in the grave, hey, come on, forth. I think every grave would have opened. Have you ever wondered this? It'd be neat to study it in history. A matter of fact, why don't you take a trip to Israel, spend about a year there, do the research, come back, let me know what you find. But on that day when Lazarus came forth, I wonder if every Lazarus that was around that area all of a sudden popped out of graves. Boom, 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 boom. Mama's in the kitchen. She's cooking that favorite Jewish pie. Her son's been dead for 25 years. And all of a sudden shows up and says, Mama, I want a piece. Said, what happened to Mama? She died. But can you imagine? Can you imagine all the Lazaruses? Have you ever thought about that? You guys know your Bible and you study it from time to time. You ever think about that? You know, Lazarus, come forth. You ever think about that, song leader? Lazarus, come forth. I mean, come on, think about that. You know, isn't that amazing? Hey, go home and think about that for a while. Huh? Next child you have, you're going to name him Lazarus is what you're going to do. All right? Now watch this. The Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus pops out of the grave. Isn't that good? Well, we close our Bible and go home and say, well, that was so good. Amen. All right? Now watch this and I'm done. Here's what we understand. We understand that people that are hurting, they need to be resurrected from their personal hurt. By the way, you will too from time to time. How does that happen? Well, we need to hurt with other people. How does that happen? We need to understand that hurting people always are forced into activity. They're always going to do something. Nobody will just stand still. When somebody is hurting, they're either going to cry to a husband, cry to a wife, they're going to cry to a parent, they're going to cry to a child, they're going to cry to a friend, or they're going to cry to God. But when they're hurting, they're going to cry out. It's going to happen every single time. When I was preaching up in North Carolina at Camp Doris, and I had that attack with kidney stones, can I tell you, I cried out. I didn't say anything to God, but God, God, oh God, that's all I said. All the way to the hospital, 35 minutes, God, Lord, oh, that's about it. He knew his name by the time I got there. Hurting people cry out. There's activity there. Helping hurting people takes work. Now, by the way, listen to me. Some people hurt deeply. Some people hurt shallow. Some people live their life and nothing ever affects them deeply. Some people live their life and everything affects them deeply. Some people live their life, and to be honest with you, you know, an atomic bomb could go off tomorrow. They're going to get up the next morning and say, let's go find coffee. I'm not going to tell you what type of person I am. But some people, it goes in deep, and it goes down, and it haunts, and it haunts, and it haunts. But I will tell you, the deeper the emotional ties that you have to someone, as illustrated in the life of our Lord, and is illustrated in the life of those that were Martha and those that love Lazarus so very deeply. When you truly do love someone deeply, most often, more than not, you also hurt for them very deeply. You see this, that helping hurting people, man, it's a lot of work. You see that hurting people need to be pointed to God. You see that hurting people need someone to pray for them. Let me give you one last thing. When hurting people are delivered, help them to take off the grave clothes. Now, what's the grave clothes represent? Past life. Amen. By the way, can I tell you, Everything before the last word that you hear me speak is your past life. Everything. You can't go back and relive it. You cannot revisit it. Every decision you make is final for that time. You may remake it, but for that time, it's final. So understand the importance of making right decisions. Understand the importance, if you will, please, of taking off the grave cloth. Now, don't live in them. Oh, but preacher, I went out and got drunk yesterday. What do I do? Don't do it again. Oh, but preacher, I robbed a store last night. What do I do? Return the merchandise. Don't do it again. Preacher, I almost voted for Hillary. What do I do? If it comes up again, don't do it again. But preacher, you don't understand. I had this bad thought. What do I do? Walk away from it. Don't revisit it. Come on. Me and my wife, we got in a knockdown, drag out fight. What do I do? Duck. But don't swing back. Yeah, I know it's hot. I see many people fanning. I'm sorry. John chapter 11 and verse 44. Here it is. I'm done. The Bible says this. The Bible says, he that was dead came forth, says bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Now he's alive. Like you and me. He's alive. Boy, there's been times where I go off to preach many years ago, not now, but I would go off to preach and I would only have one suit. Yeah. And I'd preach Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Same suit, different ties every night. Say, I'd spray stuff all over me. I mean, and the reason I did that, I didn't want to offend somebody. I just didn't have the finances to get another suit at that time. Okay? And so, but I'd wear that same suit, and man, I'd sweat. Woo! I'd sweat, just like you're sweating tonight. I'd sweat. You can identify with preacher. Amen. I sweat, and can I tell you, by the time I got done preaching and my pants were soaking wet, I'd take them, I'd hang them up someplace. If there was a window, I'd open the window, let them air dry. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then they'd have white sweat marks on them. You know, sweat marks are hard to get out. You can take soap and water. It don't work always. Sometimes that adds to it. But look, I'm saying this. I'm saying if I didn't spray that good stuff on there, can I tell you, I would have stunk. Yes, I would have. There's been times where I preach in meetings and whatnot. By the time I get done, I mean, you could wring me out. I mean, I'm just as sweaty as can be. I've had little kids come up to me, and man, I've got sweat pouring off my face, and I'm talking about pouring down my hands, and my underarms have now dripped down into my ankles, and I mean, it's terrible stuff. And I've had little kids come up to me and try and give me a half body hug, and they go, ooh. Had one little boy come up. He said, ooh, something stinks. I said, what you been smelling, son? John chapter 11 and verse 44, the Bible says that he came forth. It says, from the dead he was bound hand and foot, the grave clothes. The Bible says, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus, the Bible says, said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now I'm going to tell you, hurting people need people to be able to believe in them and set them free. I got up, preacher, and I preached, and it was a mess. It's okay. It's all right. That's fine. Your life's not over. You'll be able to preach again. Oh, but preacher, I got up, and I sang that song, and I missed every note. Most of us didn't know it. It's okay. You'll be able to sing again. But preacher, I said something to my wife, and it was ill. I mean, I just sounded ill towards her. Okay, make up. Don't go that way again. But preacher, I said something to my husband. Ooh, boy, he got mad. Okay, make up. But you don't have to go that way again. Loose each other and make each other free. Come on. By the way, let me say this, and I'm done. I promise you I'm done, because you're hot, and I'm done. So here it is. Watch this. Don't bound somebody in a friendship if they don't want it. Stay with my thought. Just because they don't want to be your friend doesn't make them a bad person. We're in a big enough church, and it's going to get bigger, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to find a personality that you like. But don't be offended if somebody doesn't like you. You don't drag them around. You just don't drag them around. Sheldon, you need to be my friend. I mean, you know, and don't attach yourself to them so much that they feel so uncomfortable. You know, you can't have him. He's my friend. I mean, this is my friend. You can't have him. I mean, you know, we go hunting together. We go fishing together. We play basketball together. You know? All right. Hey, don't do that. Man, don't do that. You know? Yeah, if he wants to go over, he goes over and he gets another friend. Go get yourself a friend. You need a friend. So he goes over and you say, oh, preacher, we're adults. I know who I'm preaching to. I'm the pastor of this church. All of a sudden, some new kid comes. Right? And this guy's been your friend for a long time. Some new kid comes. Some new adult comes. Some new senior saint comes. And all of a sudden you see these two senior saint guys walking down the hallway. Go, senior saint, senior saint, senior saint. They've been watching their daddies is what they've been doing. All right, come on back. All right, now watch this. Here we go. And so, you know, when people want to be friends, hey, look, let them be friends. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. Oh, but they never invite me over for pizza. It's because you eat the whole thing. You know, just chill. Don't make, look, I love you, but I'm your pastor. Don't make church so stiff. Don't make it so stiff that nobody wants to be around. Well, you know, hey, you know, I'm Mr. Spiritual, you know. Hey. Well, I'm glad you convinced yourself of that because nobody else believes it. Learn to take and look, thank God for guys that want, and gals and couples. Well, you know, they had a couple activity and I didn't get invited. You weren't in that class. If you get in a class, they'd invite you. You got to be there to hear what's going on. Well, the teenagers went out the other day and they had such a great time. I wish I would have knew about it. Maybe if you'd hear an announcement from time to time. Well, you know, preacher, I came here and I've been looking for a woman for a long time. Patrick, don't stand up. Just stay right there. I'm sorry, that just kind of came out, didn't it? Sorry. And God's not sent anybody to my door. It's okay. Life is not over. God's got someone just for you. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying just be yourself in church. Don't push yourself on someone, but at the same time, be friendly to everyone. Don't be stuck up. Don't put your nose up there like you're somebody. You're not somebody. Nobody's somebody at this church. We all serve Christ. We're in this together. We're a team. We're a family. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're all here serving Christ. I'm not better than you are. You're not better than I am. Let's do what we're supposed to do in reaching a lost and dying world for Christ. All right? Thank you. Be seated. You did good on the old man thing. Here it is, I'm done. So once you bring somebody out, help them. We have a lot of new believers in our church. People I've led to Christ, people you led to Christ, okay? They're just growing in the Lord. Amen. It's a new adventure for them. Let them enjoy their adventure. Yeah. Let them grow. Give them space for growth. And then help them from time to time. Reach into their life and help them and encourage them to be able to continue to grow in the Lord. That's what God wants us to do. Now, Father, help us, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.